I'm Andrew Corson. I'm the pastor of El Lugar de Su Presencia in Bogotá, Colombia. And I'm so excited to be today in Planet Shakers Church. Today I'll be speaking about hearing God's voice, but also feeling His heart, knowing what He feels, what He wants. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. But overall, I hope the Holy Spirit will touch your heart and you will never be the same. So I want to share today, continue the series your pastor have been giving about hearing God's voice. In John chapter 10, verse 27, it says, "My sheep listen to my voice." And in Acts 22:14, the Lord gave these words to Paul, and it's also a word for each of you. The Lord says, God has chosen you to know His will and to see the righteous one, that is Jesus, and hear Him speak. And all those, I know many people here lead worship, Joth and the different ones that lead worship, and Planet Shakers, when you go out to the different nations, you have the privilege to fulfill this verse in the heart of many people. And it's to bring the presence of the Lord so the people will know His will. They will see the righteous one. They will see Jesus and will also hear Him speak. So when I heard that as a believer, I could hear the Lord's voice, I got excited. Because that's an amazing thing. But I heard about the privilege of hearing God's voice when I read the book The Cross on the Switchblade. There, David Wilkerson shared his experience, so his testimony hearing God's voice. And it all started one night while he was watching TV. He was a pastor of a town, in a small town, and there wasn't much to do. He only had two meetings on Sundays and Wednesday night. Not many people were getting married. Not many people were dying, so he didn't have many funerals, so he was just bored. And that's why he was spending all the nights watching TV. A useless night. A useless life. A life without purpose. And that's the life of a lot of people. There's no purpose. It's not a significant life. So while he was watching TV, suddenly he had what we call a holy insatisfaction. And I want to highlight that, because when you have a holy insatisfaction, God is talking to you. And suddenly this idea came to his mind. He thought, what if I sell my TV and I dedicate the time I'm wasting watching TV to read God's word and to pray? But then he thought, wow, that thought must come from the devil, so he rebuked it. But the thought just continued there on his mind. So he decided to ask God for confirmation, or something we know as a fleece. And he told God, I'm going to put an announcement on the newspaper. And once the newspaper comes out, I'm going to give you 30 minutes. If I sell that TV in 30 minutes, I will know that you have been speaking to me. So the next day when he put the announcement on, He waited for the newspaper to arrive, and as soon as it got to his house, he started looking at the watch, waited him and his family for 30 minutes. 10 minutes passed, nobody called. 20 minutes, 25, nobody called. 28, he was getting all excited. But then 1 minute before the 30th, somebody called, and without asking any questions, this person bought his TV. So he knew it was God. So after that, he dedicated the time to prayer and reading the word. But then suddenly, one of those nights, he happened to pick up a magazine. And I highlight that because with God, there's no coincidence. Usually it's the purpose. And on the front of the page, he saw the picture of seven young kids that were on trial for murder. As he looked at the folder, he saw in the eyes of these teenagers pain and anger. And suddenly he started to cry. And that's the Holy Spirit. And as he while he was crying, and a thought came to his mind. And this was the thought: why don't you go to New York? That was 8 hours away from where he lived. Why don't you go and help these boys? But then he thought, me, I'm just a country boy. I can't do anything in the city. But the thought just continued in his mind. So next Wednesday night, he gathered the church and he spoke about what God had placed on his heart. They raised an offering and it was just what he needed to go to New York. So the next day he went with a friend to New York, but they didn't know what they were going to do. They were just obeying the voice of the Lord. When they arrived there, they decided to go to the court. And they were there for all the sessions, all the day sessions, and at the end, he felt that he should go up and talk with the judge. But as he did this, he was breaking the protocol. He was doing something that he shouldn't do, and that's why the police protected the judge, and all the newspaper reporters felt attracted to what was happening, and they saw that he had something in his arm. So a police said, "Hey, what's that you have in your hand?" And he lifted it up. It was his Bible. And they took a picture. And that picture was on all the newspapers. So this country pastor became the reason of laughter for many people. So he had to go back to his town and everybody was having fun at him. "Oh, look, that's the guy, that's the guy." So he tried to forget that idea, but it just didn't go away. And that's the way God many times speaks. So he gathered the church again on Wednesday night. They gathered an offering. And the next day he went to New York again. They didn't know what they were going to do. But as they were going down the road of Broadway, he felt that he should get off the car. So he obeyed the Lord. He got off the car and he started to walk. And as he was walking, six teenagers of the gang, the rebels, call him. "Hey, David." He turned around and he said, "How do you know me?" And they said, "You're famous. Your picture was on the newspaper." And thanks to that picture, everybody, all the gang people, felt that he was on their side. And that was an open door to one of the most amazing ministries. The rest is history. But then when I read that, I wanted to do the same thing. I wanted to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So I remembered that I got on a bus. And I'm Australian, no? I live in Colombia. I've been there since I was 4 years old. But I thought I was like all the Latins. And suddenly I was in this bus and I thought the Lord was telling me to get off. And I got off the worst suburb in Bogota. And I started walking. Here, gringo, walking in the midst of all these dangerous people. And I was there for 2 hours waiting for the Holy Spirit to guide me. Holy Spirit. And nothing happened. But I'm sure God was watching from heaven. And he knew then that stupid boy down there, he could use them because he wanted to hear God's voice. 6 months after that, I had finished my Bible college. I had gone to Bible school and I wanted to go to the university and study communications. I thought that would help me for my ministry. But I remember that while I was just about to pay my semester, it's about $3,000, suddenly I felt I shouldn't do it. I felt like it wasn't God's will. And because I had one day more to pay the university, I decided to make a fleece, ask God to show me if he was speaking to me. About a year ago, I had bought a car, and my grandfather had loaned me the money I had in my pocket. So I thought, okay, this is a good idea. I'll take the money to my grandfather And I know he's going to give me the money, but that way I'll just get rid of this thought and I'll come back and pay my university. So that afternoon I went to my grandparents' house. My grandfather, he's from Australia. He went to Colombia in 1933 and he married a Welsh woman. So that's why they always have a cup of tea every afternoon at 4 o'clock. So I was right in time for their cup of tea. I remember I was sitting there and I looked at Grandpa and I said, "Hey, Grandpa, remember the money you loaned me for my car?" He said, "Oh, yes, yes." So I got put my hand in the pocket. I got the money out. I put it on the table. "Here it is. I'm paying it." And he looked at the money. He says, "Oh, you didn't have to do it." So I was going to get the money, but he got it first. He put it in his pocket. I was wondering, I thought I didn't have to do it. So I left that place $3,000 poorer, but I was happy. I was excited because I started to hear God's voice. And as years have passed, I've learned to be sensitive to the voice of God. So I want to give you three instructions about hearing God's voice. If you want to listen to God's voice, number one, He speaks through His Word. There's no shortcuts. A lot of people want God to speak in a meeting, a prophet giving them a specific word. No. The first place is His Word. If you're not reading God's Word every day, it's very hard for Him to speak to you. In our church, we have something that we ask all those that are committed to the Lord. No, we have a lot of people that just attend church, you know. But there's about 15,000-16,000 that are totally committed to the Lord. And those people have to fill in every week or every month a paper we give them, and they write what they've read and also what God has spoken to them every day. And we do that just to force them to read the Bible every day. So if you want God to speak to you, you have to read His Word. Now, sometimes He speaks in a very clear way. He says yes, or He says no. With God, it's black or white. But other times, He doesn't speak in a very clear way. For example, should I buy this car? Should I go to Argentina? Should I marry this guy? He doesn't speak in a clear way. We wish He would, but He doesn't. But He gives us limits, parameters. And if we live between those limits, we can be sure of being doing God's will. He also speaks, giving us a rhema, that is a specific word. Maybe as you're reading the Bible, a verse jumps up and it's God's rhema for the specific thing you're living. Or maybe as you're listening me while you're listening to the preacher, God gives you a rhema. So number one, it's God's word. Number two, He also speaks through His Holy Spirit. In John chapter 16, verse 13, it says the Holy Spirit will lead us to the truth. So He leads us, as I showed in the testimony at the beginning, putting thoughts in our mind. So we got to analyze our thoughts, because it could be God speaking to us. He also leads us putting something in our heart. No, it's an impulse, a strong desire to do something. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your heart." So the Holy Spirit also leads us with His peace. If you have peace about something, it's because God wants you to do it. But if you're going to call somebody and you don't have peace, you must obey the guidance of the Holy Spirit. But in Galatians, we see that there's nine manifestations of the Holy Spirit. It says there the fruit of the Holy Spirit is. And it talks about nine manifestations. So it's not always peace. Sometimes it's joy or love. Now, if you feel love towards something or towards somebody, that could be the Holy Spirit. Or patience or humility. So we have to learn to be sensitive to the 9 manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Number 3, God also speaks through the circumstances. Circumstances are like signs that confirm God's will. For example, many coincidences, it's just God's providence. Open doors. Things that just happen in a miraculous way, it's God's way to speak to us. But it is important to know that circumstances can never impose direction. Circumstances just confirm what God has already spoken to us in His Word or through the Holy Spirit. Because many people follow circumstances or the signs and they go away from God's will. For many years, I learned to hear God's voice, hearing Him, paying attention to my thoughts, the inner guidance of the Holy Spirit. But then there's something that it's what I call knowing His heart, or feeling what He feels, loving what He loves, hating what He hates. And that is how to be sensitive to God's heart. How to listen to God's heart. For example, at church, we bought over 40 properties for what we're doing. All the time we buy properties because it's very expensive where we are and we just have to buy little by little. So I've got somebody all the time looking for these properties and he calls me and he says, oh, I've got this property just one block away from church. And I just know in my spirit when something is God's will and when it's not. And this knowing in my spirit is something that I've developed through my relationship with Christ. In Psalm chapter 103, verse 7, it says that God revealed His character, His ways, or His heart to Moses, and His deeds or His signs to the people of Israel. So I want to ask you, who are you? Are you like Moses? Are you a person who God is going to reveal His heart, His ways? Or are you just one in the crowd, like all the people of Israel? They just wanted signs. I want to be like Moses. I want to be a man who knows God's heart, God's character, God's ways. So what do we have to do to know God's heart, to be sensitive to His Spirit? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, it says, do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. So this shows me that God has emotions. He feels excited. He feels joy. But He also feels sad. We can bring sorrow to Him. So I want you to think about this, because if the Holy Spirit has emotions and we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, we should be feeling what the Holy Spirit is feeling. So if suddenly you've lost your joy, you've lost your peace, you're not excited about something, that could be the Holy Spirit in you that is giving you those emotions. Because the Bible says that we are temple of the Holy Spirit. So sadness. Maybe the sadness you are experiencing today is being placed in your heart by the Holy Spirit. Because you're not doing His will. You're not with the person God wants you to be. So that's why you're sad all the time. You're depressed. It's not you. It's the Holy Spirit in you. And you should be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Another thing is pain. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled." This is something I've experienced every time I've come to Australia. My heart is deeply troubled. Now why? You live in the most wonderful country on all the earth. Everything is beautiful here. People are nice, food is great, the best ocean in the world. Why is my heart troubled? Because when I come here, the Holy Spirit feels that. It's a very secular nation. You have everything. That's why Australians don't need God. And this trouble guards heart. But not only this. Many Christians are not totally committed to God. They just come to church. But they're not committed to God. They're not feeling what God is feeling for this nation. Sadly, many Christians not even coming to church. They are not sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Because in the center of the universe, there's a God that is crying for this nation. And many Christians are not sensitive to the heart of God. God feels pain. God also feels discontent, anguish, uncertainty. In Colossians 3:15, it says, "And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your heart." So if you're not experiencing God's peace, there must be a reason for that. Remember, you're a temple of the Holy Spirit. You should be always experiencing God's peace. If there's uncertainty, if there's fear or anguish, it's because you are out of God's will. Nehemiah 8:10 talks about the other side. The joy of the Lord is my strength. If you feel the joy of the Lord, it's because you are in God's perfect will, in the right place, with the right peace people. We can also see that God sometimes it's pleased. In Matthew 3:13, when Jesus got baptized, God the Father said this, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." So if you feel pleased about people or about things, it could be the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit also feels pride, in the good sense of the word. For example, in Job chapter 1, verse 1, verse 8, it says, "The Lord asked Satan, 'Have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil.'" God was feeling joy, pride, and he was very pleased with Job. Maybe if you feel that about certain people, that's the Holy Spirit in you. So I want to finish sharing the story of Hosea. The prophet Hosea. Because God allowed him to experience his heart. God told him, "I want you to go and love a prostitute, because that is the love I have for my people." So the Bible shows us that Hosea got up, went to the town. He passed by the nice part of the town, Instead of finding his wife in church, he went to the market where the people were on sale. They were selling their slaves. And he looked for a prostitute. Now this is hard. Because he had to love someone that was hard to love. Someone who had a terrible past. Someone that had been through the hands of many men. And the Bible shows us that he picked one woman up. And he loved her. And he made her beautiful with his words. He forgave all her past. He treated her like a virgin, even though she wasn't a virgin. He treated her like a queen. Because that's the way God relates with us. So they started a nice home. They got married. They had children. But suddenly she started to love her lovers of the past. And it's hard to understand, how can someone, after experiencing forgiveness, joy, love, prosperity, can go back to the past? But that's just sin as a habit. That's why many people want to go back to their old lifestyle. And that's what she did. She started to desire the good things of the past. She started to look at the riches of the other men. And that's why Uzziah wasn't sure about her integrity. And when they had their second baby, because he wasn't sure about her being his daughter, he called her Lo Ruhama. And that means, you're not worthy of my compassion. When the third baby came, Uzziah was absolutely sure this baby didn't belong to him. And that's why he called her Loami. That means, you do not belong to me. But the amazing thing is that in spite of all her unfaithfulness, Uzziah still loved her. And he was merciful towards her. Because that's a picture of God. But there's a moment when love cannot tolerate unfaithfulness. And the same thing happens with God. There's a moment when God's grace doesn't tolerate sin. And if we do not repent, God has to let us go. So Uzziah had to ask her, or give her the opportunity to choose between all her lovers or him. And he hoped that she would decide to be with him. But she chose her lovers. This is in Uzziah chapter 2, verse 2 and verse 5. So Uzziah experienced the pain of loving and losing somebody that didn't deserve to be loved. And this is hard. It's hard to love someone that isn't worthy. It's hard to die to owe everything just for that person. And to see that that person isn't willing to pay the price. And to see that that person just loses you to go after your lover or their lovers. That night when Uzziah's wife left him, the children at home cried. And if people just understood the pain that a divorce can bring to the children, I'm sure they would never separate. But people are so selfish. That night, all their children wanted was their mother. Where's mommy? I want mommy. I miss my mother. Finally, he was able to put them to sleep after they cried and cried. And when all the children were in bed, Uzziah went to a corner of his house, maybe where the fire was. And he poured his heart. He started to cry. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. All his pain came out. And suddenly he heard that somebody was crying. So he stood up and he went to the bedroom of his children to see if any of them were were crying, but no, they were all asleep. So he went back to the fireplace. And he again and again he started to get all his pain out. Once more he heard that somebody was crying. That night, he experienced God's love. Because in the center of the universe, there is a God of love who is crying for the thousands and thousands and thousands of people that are dying without him. The Bible says it, or God puts it this way in Hosea 11:8. Oh, how can I give you up, Israel? How can I let you go? My heart is torn within me, and my compassion overflows. Hosea heard that the person that was crying was God. Because in the center of the universe, there is a God of love that is crying for all humanity. When I heard this story for the first time, God changed me. I don't serve God for the glory I receive. I don't serve Him for the money. I don't serve Him because I want to be successful. No, I serve Him because one day I experienced God's love, God's heart. When that happened, I cried for over 1 hour. The pain was so intense that I had to ask God to take it away from me. But every time I forget about the real reason why I serve God, I ask Him to allow me to experience His heart. Because in the center of the universe, there's a God of love that is crying for humanity. The story doesn't end there. After some years passed, God spoke again to Hosea and told him to love another prostitute. He says, oh boy, I can't. But that's God's love. Romans says that God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. So Hosea got up and went back to the slave market. And when he entered that place, he saw somebody that he already knew. He couldn't believe it. There was his wife. She had sold herself to sin, and sin had made a slave of her. So he went there, and the Bible says that he bought her. He redeemed her, and he bought her. That's God's love. That's what He did for us. God wants to touch our hearts today. Because many people haven't known God's heart. I remember a story of a pastor who lost one of his sons. He went out and got drunk. And as he was driving back home, he killed himself. And when this happened, his father didn't want to serve God anymore. He says, why serve you? I've lost my son. And he kept on with this attitude for 3-4 months until God spoke to him. And God told him, you're crying for one son. Every night I cry for millions and millions and millions that are lost without me. God wants to give Planet Shakers today His heart. Because as I was saying before, every time I come to Australia, my heart is torn within me. Because the need is so big. I'm so glad to see you going to different countries of the world. New Guinea, Austin, Texas, and wow, God's going to do amazing things. But you know what? This country needs you. God wants to touch your heart today. He wants you to say, my heart was torn within me. That's why I want to ask you to stand up. And I want you to raise your hands and receive God's heart. And Father God, I ask that right now we will experience your heart. That your love for this nation will come into us. That your love for our neighbors that don't know you. Your love, Lord, your compassion, your mercy for those that have given their lives over to sin will come into us. That we will experience right now what you are feeling.